May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Remember last week when St. Paul was talking about how to tell the difference between someone who's ready for divine spiritual wisdom versus someone who's still caught up in worldly, unspiritual wisdom. He reminded us that the unspiritual person will think God's wisdom is foolish. Such a person essentially is ignoring what God wants to teach them, preferring instead a different, very human source of wisdom. Well, today the Apostle Paul is basically saying to the Corinthians that they are acting just like that very group of unspiritual people. Despite the fact that Christians have the mind of Christ, have the Holy Spirit living within them, and are beneficiaries of God's grace, it's very easy for us to slip back into old habits of thinking. Someone I know once shared with me about their attempts to try to quit smoking and how after a long time of not actually picking up a cigarette, they decided during a stressful moment to grab a pack and light one up. And the person thought, well, I'm probably going to hate it anyway. Well, they liked it a lot. And so that person immediately took that cigarette and the whole pack, rolled down the car window, and threw it out, keeping that person from going into a downward spiral. Unfortunately, many of the Corinthian Christians weren't exactly throwing out their cigarettes. They were getting sucked back into unspiritual ways of thinking. They picked their favorite Christian superstar, Apollos, Paul, Peter, whoever, and then they drew lines in the sand. If you weren't a fan of their favorite, well, then you were suspect. They'd question your commitment to Christ. They would even avoid having civil relations with you, let alone supportive, godly fellowship. They let their worldly preferences become a clear cause of division and schism within the church. You may remember when we started our journey into 1 Corinthians some weeks back, we recounted some of the ways that Christians still do that very thing. Well, of course, it doesn't hurt to recap. We let denomination take precedence over whether someone genuinely loves Jesus. We let political affiliation supplant the priority that should override everything, that we are of one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. We let our opinions on hot button issues of the day determine whether or not we consider someone a real Christian, instead of looking at the actual fruit of their lives. Do they show genuine love for God? Are they loving their neighbor as themselves? How shameful to put personalities, politics, and preferences in front of someone's visible devotion to Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy on us, your church, sinners that we are. Paul's spiritual answer to such unspiritual beliefs and behaviors is actually quite simple. He writes, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each." Paul emphasizes the fact that he and his colleagues were mere mortals. There's nothing special about any one of them over another in the grand scheme of things. They are simply vessels that God uses to plant, to water, to nourish, or to harvest an act of faith in the lives of the people there at Corinth. As special as any one of them considered any of them to be compared to another is inconsequential. They each had a role to play, and they did so according to the will of God. The same is true of us today, 2,000 years later. The people who are instrumental at particular times in our journey of faith are just faithful stewards of God's gift and call. However much we may appreciate and find their ministry indispensable to us, God can and does have us move in and out of people's lives at different seasons for different reasons. None of us is so important that God can't bring someone else along to carry out that same ministry. Given everyone has their own style, everyone has a different personality, a different mix of gifts that they bring to the table. But the Holy Spirit has a way of making sure that the work of ministry gets done with the people who are available. Paul's direct repudiation of the cults of personality that took root in Corinth is a reminder to us that it is God who does the work. Jesus himself reminds us in a parable elsewhere that the farmer who does all of this stuff from planting to harvest is not responsible for the actual growth of the plant from the ground. That is God's responsibility alone. Any fruit that's produced for the kingdom of God is directly attributable to God himself, not us. It is the Lord who takes the initiative and has the perseverance that causes new life to spring forth from the sin-sick soul. It is our Father's proactive and intimate involvement in our lives that makes any kind of goodness or rescue a reality. It's never something that we can start or accomplish as fallen human beings. While I'm away at Curcio this coming weekend, well, guess what? God's work here will still be done without me. When Sue Philbrick had to step down from the food pantry directorship, the Spirit moved the hearts of those who were already serving to help pick up the slack. When last year our budget was in the red, the Lord provided for us through a mix of generous additional gifts as well as some thrift that helped keep St. George's afloat. I can hardly imagine my life without the serendipitous intervention of God at key points, opening the door for me to go to college, to keep me going through seminary, for helping Kelly and I make ends meet at different points, guiding our steps together, pursuing God's call to different places. And looking back, I would have a really hard time pretending that these events were merely coincidences, that they were just accidents of history. And I bet if you're paying attention, neither do you have to look very hard to see key points in your own life where the Lord has touched you, provided for you, strengthened you, restored something broken, redirected your course away from a potential disaster. We all have every reason to be grateful for God's proactive hand diligently intervening in our lives, even if we happen to be distracted from recognizing it sometimes. Similarly, we each have a part to play. As much as Paul may have had other apostles and evangelists of his day in his mind when he was talking about God's servants that were being used, we should not close our minds from entertaining the fact that we are all part of one body in the church. Thus, each one of us has a part to play in spreading the good news of the kingdom. Many of us recently had the chance to fill out the Every Member in Ministry form. And as a simple example of just how it has helped, I was able to report to Wayne, there you are, hiding back there, that we already had a number of people who had already committed to help out with the Pancake Supper on Shrove Tuesday. Of course, it doesn't mean that we can't use more help, but it does show that if we take time to let people know in advance that they're ready, willing, and able to help, it can alleviate a lot of unnecessary anxiety and allow our leaders to plan with better forethought and deploy our volunteers in ways that don't burn everyone out. Imagine what could be done if everyone who came here regularly simply took on one or two responsibilities that fit best with their gifts and skills and personalities, and then actually let our vestry or ministry leaders know that they're interested to do it. Friends, we are part of one body for a reason: to glorify God by enjoying Him and being available for service however He calls us. We shouldn't let our differences get in the way of that holy purpose. And if we each play our part, while recognizing that everyone else also plays a part, we'll lay the groundwork not only for greater unity in the church, we'll actively be spreading the gospel message of Christ's love with people near and far. We'll actually be growing in spiritual maturity. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.